Did you get more wood?
Oh, yeah.
You are now listening to Blast Burn Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Blast Burn Radio. I am your host, Jolly by Nature, and with me today, as always, are our turkey-stuffed friends, our Thanksgiving co-hosts, Messer Engine and Celeste. Thanks for joining me today, folks. How are you doing?
I'm going to let Celeste go first. I always go first.
Full of turkey, very tired, and have a slight migraine left over from the day. But I'm okay.
I'm doing pretty good. I feel considerably better than the last time we recorded.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. I know you were kind of on death's door for a little bit there, Mess. So it has, as always, been 1 week since we got together last. It was a holiday week here in the States with Thanksgiving on this past Thursday. And I know for me, at least, that made it a very hectic week. How about you guys, though? How was your week this week?
This week, as anyone who watched my streams is aware, I was sick as a dog all week. But having just, gone back recently from vacation, I really needed to make sure that I was going to work every day to keep up on all the stuff that had been sitting from vacation. So there was a lot of me at work feeling miserable, working through Medicine Head, and just logistically trying to keep up when I really had no business forming complete sentences and putting them into emails. But we did that anyways, and it was Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving, unlike Halloween, is my favorite holiday. It's my very favorite holiday. It was disappointing to be sick on my favorite holiday, but it was really good to see everybody. My sister got married back in August. I hadn't seen her since then, so it was really nice to see her and have her and her husband there with my father and my stepmother, and seeing the other side of the family as well. So it was really, really good.
Hey, my week, it's been pretty hectic. The first 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, were crazy days at work because I work for university, so we had 3 days off of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, which is really nice, but just makes those first 2 days just nuts. Lots of projects trying to get them complete or to a point where they can be picked right back up next week. As for Wednesday and Thursday, streaming-wise, the times were rough because I had a family party to go to on Wednesday, and so I started my stream late and decided just to keep going with it because Thursday was also going to be messed up by Thanksgiving plans. And so I basically almost pulled an all-nighter and then went back into streaming in the morning. I'm surprised I didn't kill more Pokemon. That was my week.
Awesome. Mine was a hectic, crazy one. I was honestly just kind of trying to keep my head above water between work and kids and holidays and everything else. But I got through it. I have survived and persevered. I did get a chance to pick up a couple of new games over the weekend as part of, while Christmas shopping for my kids and others, just seeing all the good sales and deals. I picked up a few things for myself and a few things for my wife, which is dope. I haven't picked up a new game that was not Pokemon related, and I can't even tell you how long, if I'm being entirely frank, but I picked up a copy of FF15 because it's way overdue on my catalog personally, and it was on sale for $20, so I was just like, yeah, of course I'm going to do that. I almost picked up Mass Effect Andromeda too because it was on sale for $12, but I was concerned that there was probably a reason that it was on sale for $12, so I let that one sit.
You're making me laugh and cough.
I'm sorry, Mess. And I picked up a copy of, God, I can't even remember what the full title of it is, but the Wii U, because yes, I own a Wii U. I hadn't touched it in well over a year, but I do have one. The Wii U Paper Mario game. So I played a little bit of that with my kids today, so that was pretty fun. Today is actually my 31st birthday, so I am officially old as shit.
No, you're not old, because I'm older than you, so you're never allowed to be old. Just remember that.
Well, my wife begs to differ.
Guess I'm the youngest here.
Aw, she's the baby.
I turned 30 in April.
One of us. One of us. One of us. All right, guys. Well, let's go ahead and get into our Pokemon news for the week.
Doot, 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 doot. This is the Poke News?
Poke News.
I'm just gonna leave that. I can't even top it. Okay. So today was the cable airing of the 20th anniversary Pokemon movie. Now, I personally had seen it several weeks ago in theaters, but I did make a point to watch it again today on TV because we promised to review it for you guys this week, so I wanted it to be fresh in my mind. Now, unfortunately, I was the only current host of the show who has been able to watch the movie thus far, so Celeste and Mess won't be able to offer their thoughts and insights, but as a special treat, former Blastburn Radio host Rohane wrote into the show with his thoughts on the movie. We spent so many weeks talking about this movie on the show that he wanted to make sure you guys got his opinions now that he's seen it. So before I offer my own, Mess Buddy, would you care to read Rohane's message for us?
Yeah, I can do that. Hold on just one sec. You're going to get Stuffy Rohane's review. Hey there, folks. Long time no talk. Hope you all are excited and ready for season two. I wanted to drop a line to you three and talk about the film, the Pokemon movie I Choose You, for a minute, and give a hot and dirty, no bullshit, unbiased review with minimal spoilers from someone who has never seen a Pokemon movie and only really watched the first season of the show. Now, for context, I went on Monday with my wife, who is arguably more knowledgeable about Pokemon than myself. Excuse me. I was under the impression that this was a remastering of the very first and original Pokemon movie that I wasn't able to see as a kid. Suffice to say that a mere 10 minutes into the movie, I realized that this was not the case. When I started seeing Pokemon that I easily recognized from the Alola region, Piplup, and later on Incineroar being examples of this, the confusion grew even further as the legendary Pokemon came on the scene along with certain colorful feathered friend. About a third of the way through the movie, I came to understand that the movie was actually a retelling of Ash's original journey, despite that it really only touched on one of Ash's notable gym battles and one of Ash's Gen 1 trio, besides Pikachu, of course. Once realizing and accepting that, I settled into a wonderful movie filled with colorful, if slightly rushed, storyline, with a wholesome message that even tugged at my own jaded heartstrings. Pikachu would have been a Rohane's rowdy rider. Rohane, don't worry about it. There were a few portions which made me go, what the fuck? But other than that, it was a pretty great show. In short, pros, wholesome movie with a message about the power of friendship. Great for parents to take their little ones on an outing, assuming that they are the type that can sit through a movie. Longtime franchise fans will love seeing recognizable characters in a new light. Cons. Pacing of the movie was all over the place. Only a brief blurb mentioning Ash's journey through Kanto, Johto, question mark. Some parts really felt out of place. Team Rocket scenes felt forced, for example. Didn't really seem to contribute to the plot much, was just kind of there. Marshadow was just kind of what? Like, there needed to be a supervillain, and so they kind of just put him in there. The two things that happened in the end, like, what? The first part was Ash hallucinating? Question mark. Overall, solid movie, and it made for a great date. I give it a 4.5 out of 5.
Awesome. Thanks, Mess. And thank you for writing in, Rohane. I'm glad that you were able to get out and check out the movie while it was in theaters. I know that me and my wife had a lot of fun when we went. So, very broad strokes, this movie tells a very abridged version of several of the most important story bits of Ash's original Season 1 anime journey through Kanto, including his capture, training, and eventual release of Butterfree, his meeting and befriending his Charmander, his eventual Charizard, and a few other just, like, really key bits of those first 100 odd episodes of the anime. Within that existing framework, however, it also tells a new story which finally makes good on the promise of Ho-Oh's appearance in the very first episode of the anime. Now, personally, one of my favorite things about this movie is that it sort of soft resets the series, and in doing so, it reestablishes the Pokemon world as a much more interconnected and global place from the very beginning, which I think was kind of needed. Ash's traveling companions throughout this movie are both from the Sinnoh region, and they use Pokemon native to that region. The female companion using a Piplup, the male companion using a Lucario. And while Ash's rival in the movie, his origin is never discussed, he uses Alolan Pokemon, an Incineroar and a Lycanroc. So yeah, it establishes that in the timeline that Ash is traveling in Kanto, they know there are more than 150 Pokemon. They're familiar with those Pokemon and the places that they come from, which obviously they couldn't do before those games were made, but was kind of something that needed to be retroactively established in order for the world to make fucking sense. So I liked that. I think it was very necessary in the grand scheme of things. I do agree with Rohane about certain things feeling glossed over or just straight shoehorned in. I do wish there had been more coverage of Ash's journey through Kanto, even if it was like a montage of just like a few bits of his gym fights, rather than just, I mean, all you get is a tiny fragment of his battle against Erica. That's basically the only reference to him traveling through Kanto that you get. Team Rocket does absolutely nothing, and they should have either been given something legitimate and purposeful to do, or they should have just been left out of the movie. Honestly, there was no reason for them to be there. Every bit of the story that touches on Marchadao is confusing and feels crammed in just for the sake of giving the new mythic a moment in the spotlight, which is admittedly valid. Every time they introduce a new mythic, they get a corresponding movie, but it really just feels like they went, okay, well, we want to make this movie, but we need to promote Marchadao. How can we shove it in there? And it does feel very forced. That said, the movie does a lot of things well, and it certainly packs some very emotional punches. It also, potentially at least, answers once and for all the question of why Ash never seems to age. I'll leave that there to avoid major story spoilers, but yeah, there's a very prominent theory floating now that the movie has been aired. You can find it if you want it. So yeah, overall, I think that it was a great movie. I greatly enjoyed it, and I think that any past or current fan of the series will enjoy it as well. I do just want to quickly talk about the thing that blew up on the internet was everyone saying, what the fuck, at the brief snippet at the end where Pikachu talks. And they do, like Ash is lying there losing consciousness, and Pikachu's mouth starts moving, and he hears English words. I really feel like people are reading too much into that. I feel like Ash was hallucinating and on the point of death. Like, I don't think that Pikachu legitimately said those words, especially since they don't make any fucking sense. Pikachu says that he never wants to be in his Pokeball because he wants to spend time with Ash, but Pikachu never wanted to be in his Pokeball before he had any fucking clue who Ash was and when he hated Ash. So I think it's pretty safe to say that, no, he was just, like, losing blood and dying, guys. It's not... Pikachu didn't just suddenly learn to talk.
He's just been pranking Ash the entire time.
Secret Meowth. Yep, that's Pikachu. But no, overall it was really good, and I think that anyone who either enjoys the anime currently, or even anyone who just liked watching it as a kid when it was still the very first season, should probably give it a watch. There's something of value for you there.
Cool. I'm sorry that I missed it. Like, it was playing at odd times for me to go. Like, and on days when, yeah, I was on vacation that week, but they were the days that, like, my wife and I were home and we actually had stuff to do. So it was kind of a bummer, and I don't have cable, so I didn't get to watch it.
Well, that stinks, Mess. Yeah. There's actually a rumor, and I haven't followed through on it to see if it's true or not, but there's a rumor that the QR code that you use to get the movie cap Pikachu is universal. That it's not like a one-time use thing. So if I can verify that that's the case, I'll totally let you jack my QR code.
Oh, thanks. And I can have another Ash Cat Pikachu.
All the Ash Cat Pikachus. All right, guys. So Moving on from the movie, I do also want to remind our listeners that there is currently a global challenge ongoing in Pokemon Ultra Sun Ultra Moon. The goal is to catch 10 million Pokemon by November the 27th, and it's not going to happen, frankly. Last time I checked this morning, we were at 4 million approximately after like a week and a half of this thing and with 48 hours left. So yeah, we're not going to hit 10 million, but that being said, if you participate, you are given 1000 festival coins, even for failure. And that prize is doubled if your cartridge is linked to your Pokemon Trainers Club account. So be sure to just sign in and get that easy reward. Like, there's no reason not to. And with that being said, I think that there's also actually something similar going on in Pokemon Go. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There is a global catch challenge going on right now. The event was slated to go on until tomorrow, the 26th, to correspond with a special Pokemon Go Safari Zone event in Totori, Japan. Basically, they were challenging trainers in Pokemon Go to catch 3 billion Pokemon. 3 billion. There were reward tiers at 500 million Pokemon, 1.5 billion Pokemon, and 3 billion Pokemon. Now, when I was writing this morning, the first two tiers had already been accomplished, and we were well on our way to the third tier at 2.8 billion Pokemon caught. That was about 9, 10 a.m. this morning, I think. Well, guess what? We totally hit 3 billion Pokemon caught in 6 days. Because people who play Pokemon Go are crazy. That is a shit ton of Pokemon. So why should you care if you're listening to this? I will tell you. Because you're getting extra XP, extra Stardust. There's more wild Pokemon popping up everywhere. But that's all normal stuff. You see that all the time. The real reward is because we hit the big 3 billion Pokemon, region exclusive Farfetch is available worldwide for the next 48 hours. Also, for the folks in the East Asia area, which is where Farfetch is the regional exclusive, they're getting access to Kangaskhan. So if you're not familiar with Pokemon Go and why this matters, certain Pokemon are region exclusive. You can only get them by traveling to that region. This is the first time that a region exclusive has been opened up to another area where it is not native as part of this competition. And that really bodes well for things in the future, because not everybody gets to travel the world. I mean, it's expensive and takes time and, you know, all that stuff. So this is really cool. I know my wife's really excited. We'll definitely go out this weekend to catch a Farfetch. Again, it'll be available for 48 hours. So you're looking at by sometime Monday. So if you're listening to this Monday, open up your app, go catch your Farfetch. Don't miss this opportunity, because you may not get another one for a very long time.
Awesome. That's really, really cool, Mess. I actually, again, hardly ever play Go, but I'll have to keep an eye open for the next day or two just in case.
Yeah, it's pretty jazzy. The region exclusives are Tauros here in North America, Mr. Mime's over in Europe, Farfetch is in the East Asia area, Kangaskhan is usually in Australia, so it's really rare to see those in somebody's Pokedex. So it's really cool that they're doing this.
That's really, really neat. The last piece of news that I wanted to go over for this episode, and I apologize that I don't have like a lot of specific dates. This is actually something I just stumbled on like literally 5 minutes before we started recording. But just to let everybody know, the Pokemon Bank app has been updated to be compatible with Ultra Sun Ultra Moon. So yeah, if you wanted to move Pokemon forward from your Sun and Moon or even earlier titles, it's a lot easier to do so now, because you can now link them directly to Pokebank. So sweet.
Hooray.
Yay.
Okay, so that was our Poke News for this week. That was a very short Poke News, and I feel like they're going to be that way now that we're finally out of release season. So, yay!
We have about six months to a year before we start getting Switch news.
Yeah. I hope it's a little bit longer, actually. I'd like to get a chance to really let Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon kind of marinate before we move on to the next big cool thing. But we'll see how that goes in practice. Now, so that's all of the Pokemon, like, community news content we have to go over. So now it's time for us, of course, to talk about our content, our Nuzlocke content. So this was, of course, week two of our Generation 2 series, and it was a scary one given the particular hurdles that our challengers had to jump. This week continued the hard pace that week one had set with two gems and close to 10 levels to gain. And those two gems were the gems of Whitney and Morty, who are widely recognized as the most dangerous gem leaders in these particular games for a Nuzlocke. So this was, again, a very daunting week of gameplay. Now, as always, Messer Engine did play first. So Mess Buddy, how was your week in Nuzlocke this week?
Spoilers, it could have gone better. So we came into this week in the lead. We swept PvP, we got 50 big points, we were looking good. So we came into this week with a plan. We were going to sacrifice some encounters, make sure to enhance that point lead a little bit, and we were going to go in, kick some ass, and make sure that everyone had to play dangerous and or give up encounters to make sure that they could catch up. So this didn't go as well as we had planned, but we did give up Route 34, National Park, and our Ecruteak City encounters. The reason for that was Route 34 had mostly psychic types, drowsies, abras, which are cool, but we drafted an Espeon last week in our Eevee draft. So if we're going to use a psychic type, we're going to use that. So we weren't too worried. National Park, big chance for Pinsir or Scyther, 5% chance, really cool. I can't talk tonight. Would have been really cool, but the thing is that it's only a 5% chance, and the rest of it is garbage, hot garbage. So chances were we were going to get garbage, and we didn't want garbage. We'd rather have the points. And then Ecruteak City was a surf encounter only, and we weren't looking for a tentacool this week, so we gave those up. We did meet some new friends along the way. We met a Nidoran female who we named Claire on Route 35. We met a Nidoran male on Route 36 that we named Jules. We met a Stantler on Route 37 who's named Valka. In Goldenrod, we did pick up our Eevee, and I'll talk about that a little more in just a bit. In Mount Mortar, we picked up a Machop who's named Murtry. And in the Burning Tower, we caught a Koffing whose name is Julie. Now, as we went into Goldenrod City, we knew we had to deal with Whitney, and Whitney's mill tank is scary. If she gets up to 5 rollouts, it doesn't matter if you resist, you're just dead. So, the goal was to go in and use our good Geodude Lopez, use good old J-Lo to mud slap that accuracy down to break up the rollouts. Now, a lot of people are probably wondering, why didn't you go with Paralyze? Why didn't you status? Well, here's the thing. My status options were Butterfree, who rollout would be quad effective against. That's just deadly and stupid. That's asking to get killed. And our other option was to throw out our Ghastly, who will still take damage from rollout. And yes, I could have used Hypnosis, but Ghastly didn't know any moves that could actually hurt Miltank because it's immune as a normal type to all of its ghost moves. So I could come in and I could sit there trying to Hypnosis, which isn't super accurate, while taking rollouts. And if that didn't work out, I was going to be in big trouble. So the goal was to get Lopez in there as quickly as possible and mud slap it down. And everything started off okay. We mud slapped 3 or 4 times, but that Miltank wasn't having any of that. On the 4th rollout, it actually crit and killed Lopez, which was really, really unfortunate. So we had to switch into something, and we ended up switching into Wan Li, our Raticate, who had just evolved, because we just needed to get the thing's health down really quickly. It rolled out a 5th time and one-shot Wan Li. And then we basically had to fight for our life with who was left while it was milk drinking like a total bitch. Eventually we got it down. We did end up having to bring out poor Gia, our Butterfree, into what was possibly a suicidal switch, but it worked out okay. And we took her down, but we lost two friends and we lost 40 big points, and that put a real hamper on our day because it meant for the gym we only pulled in 10 points. That hurts a lot. Not to mention that Lopez was probably our best defensive option on the team, and Wanley was our biggest offensive threat at the time. That did not make me feel real good. So afterwards, we had to figure out what we were going to put on the team and how we were going to handle Morty. So before we talk about what we did to build the team back up, when we handled Morty, we actually decided that we were going to do an easy mode. And there were a couple reasons for this. One is that my lead was so significant at the end of last week that I knew that Jolly would have to play perfectly and sacrifice encounters and not lose Pokemon to catch up. So I wasn't too worried about him running past me grossly. Celeste was a bigger concern, but there were other concerns that went along with it. The first is that we didn't have a lot of good replacement options, and we were already looking at having to replace two Pokemon. We caught a lot of poison this week. A lot of poison. Nidoran. We already have a Gastly. We already have a Zubat. And we caught a Koffing. That is just a shit ton of poison, psychic vulnerability. And we knew that Jolly had a Drowsy at minimum, and he had the option of picking up an Abra. So that wasn't really good, and we couldn't afford to lose anybody else. The other thing is, the group of Pokemon that I had on my team almost were all super effective moves against Morty's Pokemon. Or they were completely immune to the moves that were available. So I only had a couple options, and if that Pokemon went down or had to be swapped out, I would be in a situation where I would either have to let the whole team die because I opted into no healing, or I would fuck it up and like lose all my points, which I wouldn't obviously do intentionally. I just TPW, basically. I just sit there while Gengar murdered me. The third concern was that we didn't have any ability to give our Pokemon a berry that would get rid of sleep. And his Gengar that has Hypnosis Sleep Eater is a major concern. So we went in, we easy moded him, and we trashed that gym. We just went in, kicked over their stuff. And it was great. It felt really good after losing two Pokemon to do that. But it meant we only pulled 20 points out of that gym, which also hurt. But on the upside, we learned while fighting our rival that friendship really is magic. Trask, our Golbat, who had evolved into a Golbat just like a fight before, evolved into a Crobat, having gotten a really great haircut from the younger brother in Goldenrod City when it took down our rival's Bayleaf, that hated Bayleaf that killed Mao in week one for the second time, because if you remember, he took him out the first time too. He was so happy and pleased and loved that he evolved into a Crobat, and now he is our best boy forever and will stay with us unless he dies. So that's cool. So what did we end up doing with the team? We decided that we were definitely going to replace one of our slots with the Eevee from Goldenrod. We were going to get our Espeon, psychic types. Not much resists them. Yes, Jolly had an option for an Umbreon, and we would have to deal with that if he chose that. But ultimately, it was a good pickup option. A lot of stuff on both squads have poison typing. Celeste has a Gastly. She had a Bellsprout. Jolly killed his Gastly when he tried to catch it, so we didn't have that. But realistically, it was going to be a good option to pick up. Had a great special attack. And we decided what we were going to do is we're going to wait to evolve our Eevee into Espeon until it knows Bite at level 30, because Jolly has a switch in on Bumbo in particular was the concern at the time, and we wanted to just be able to mitigate that. The second option came down to what was going to give us the most bang for our buck, and realistically we decided that was going to be a Nidoking. Penguin Mage, huge shout out to you, and actually everybody who watched my streams this week. I was so sick, and I could not have been that entertaining, and I'm so happy that you came and watched. Penguin Mage really wanted me to use Jewels, or then Nidorino, but we didn't have a Moonstone. So we made it a goal this week to give mom all, pretty much all of our money and go fight some trainers till we got that moonstone, and we did. We filled out the team in a way that meant we had too much poison. We ended up dropping Gastly in the bank and picking up Murtry or Machop to fill in the rest. So we have a much more balanced team. We also spent some time adding some gambling and adding some TMs, just so everybody's aware. Our good Jules, our Nidoking, knows Surf, he knows Blizzard, he knows Thrash, which he learned at 23, and he knows Shadow Ball to help deal with the psychic types that are out there on Jolly's team in particular. And we taught Trask, our now Crobat, Return, because we are the best of friends, and that is a really good move to have for friendship there. So again, Penguin Mage, you got your wish. Jules is on the team. It is your reward for sticking with me both nights and thanking me for streaming at the end, so thank you. And thank you to everyone who turned out. That was my week in Nuzlocke, and Jolly is up next, I think. You streamed on Tuesday, right?
Yep, I sure did stream on Tuesday. And yeah, so I came into this week and I was seeking redemption. Week one was not great for Team Jolly. I think to a degree we found the redemption that we were looking for. I came in very trepidatious after having watched Mess's Whitney fight. Like, I knew that we had a strategy and that it was a solid strategy, but strategy can only carry you so far with Whitney. She is just unspeakably threatening, almost. But we did come into this week with some very well thought out team building ideas, and those got mostly thrown out the window because we managed to encounter the first ever shiny on the Blastburn Radio Challenge. I encountered a shiny Zubat and promptly caught her, and we named her Stormy. Now, this is super hype, but it also threw a huge monkey wrench into all my team building plans. So I had to rethink literally everything. So my plan coming into this week was to use our Eevee, evolve it into Umbreon, and use it as like a general all-purpose tank on the team, and then to catch some other options to be much more offensive. And the direction that was probably going to go in was eventually going to be the benching of our starter, Mojito. As much as I love Mojito, Umbreon just offered a lot more as a mixed tank than Meganium did. But if you look at all of the really cool utility that Umbreon offers, we're talking things like Confuse Ray and Mean Look. Those are really the best parts of what the Zubat family also offers. And I don't need two Mean Lookers on my team. So it immediately made Umbreon a much less attractive option. So we had to do some serious reformulating. And we have. I'm not quite as confident about the team building decisions that we've made as the ones that we had planned, but I'm not going to look a shiny in the eyes. And frankly, Stormy is fucking dope. So I'm happy with it. We did catch a Nidoran male on Route 35. We named him Stinger. He went promptly in the bank because with Stormy on top of him, we just have too much fucking poison. We did take on the bug catching contest in National Park. We were hoping against hope for a Scyther, and we caught a Metapod. His name is Harvey. He lives in the PC forever. We did sacrifice our Route 36 encounter for sweet, sweet points, along with the optional side area ruins of Alf. We went ahead and sacrificed that encounter as well, and Ecruteak City. So that was three total route encounters sacrifice this week for points. We did take on Whitney in the Goldenrod City Gym, where our plan was to paralyze Whitney's deadly, deadly mill tank with Columbia, our skip loom, and prevent it from getting to that five stack of rollout that is so incredibly threatening. We did accomplish the paralysis, and we switched into Mojito, our bay leaf, to set up a reflect. With that done, we brought out Gimlet, our Geodude. The plan was to throw up a defense curl and then out-roll out the rollout cow. And overall, the plan was successful. successful. We had a very solid victory. That said, Whitney used Attract on Gimlet, which was not something I was prepared to deal with, and it disrupted the rollout chain. So it totally screwed up the actual plan, but thankfully it just wasn't enough to prevent the victory. So flawless victory against Whitney, which was super hype. I hopped back online on Thursday evening, which was not a scheduled stream for us this week, just to do some team building and some leveling. Again, being required by the rules to use Stormy as a Shiny Claws encounter really gunked up all my plans for team building, and I needed to work out how we were going to be successful moving forward. Also, Mess choosing to run his Espeon and also choosing to run it with a strong Dark-type coverage move really, really meant that we either needed Umbreon or an answer for Psychic and Dark coverage. So ultimately, we decided to go pursue some encounters. Ultimately, I decided to try to pick up one of my favorite Generation 2 supportive defensive walls, as I knew there was no way that I'd use both it and Umbreon, and if I knew that I had it in my PC, that made all of my decisions much easier. I picked up my Route 37 encounter using a Headbutt, which was a Weedle named Woo Woo. Yes, his name is Woo Woo. That is also a cocktail name. and then I backtracked all the way to Azalea Town, where I managed to get, on my fifth dupes encounter, a Pineco. This is extremely hype, as Fortress is an amazing defensive Pokemon, and his defensive typing does allow him to resist both Dark and Psychic. And he just has great support moves. I named him Wolfram, and while he's not currently on the squad, he just doesn't have a whole lot going for him at level 25. He will certainly be earning a spot eventually. Like, that is a Pokemon that is coming out of the bank. That made it much easier for me to settle what to do with my Goldenrod City encounter, and so I went to the game corner and picked up a female Abra and named her Sangria. So finally, we have a fast offensive option on the team. And I spent the rest of Thursday evening just grinding. Friday night, we got right to work and we hit up Mount Mortar for our encounter there. I was expecting a Machop, and in fact, I had made the decision earlier that day not to use the Machop once we caught it, and I was in the process of explaining that thought process to the stream when I encountered a fucking Meryl. So, yeah, dear sweet Four Loko, no one is going to take your place in our hearts because we got a derpy fucking water Pikachu with a 1% encounter rate inside of Mount Mortar. So that was hype just because it's such a rare encounter, but it was also a bummer because Meryl is just frankly garbage in Generation 2. Meryl doesn't get good really until Generation 4 when it has access to both huge power and physical stab water moves. But we did catch him. His name is Sidecar, and so he's an option in the PC now. From there, we moved on to the Burn Tower. We fought and decimated our rival Scrotum. There was no challenge there. We just utterly murdered him. Now, I also spent a considerable amount of time this week off stream grinding for coins in the game corner. And I picked up two super valuable TMs, one for Thunder and one for Fire Blast. I intended to put those to immediate and powerful use with our Burn Tower encounter. And it seemed like I was going to get that wish when we encountered a female Koffing. I named her Michelada and got right to work on leveling her. It wasn't meant to be, however, as I misjudged the offensive potency of a wild Magmar, and he blew poor Michelada back for our first and only death on the week. It seems like every time I invest powerful TMs in new Pokemon, I am signing their death warrant.
It's the Rohane method.
Yeah, I am channeling my inner Rohane. That being said, at least in comparison to Bacardi, these are TMs that I can replicate by repeating the time investment. They're not just lost to me forever. So there's that at least. From there, we just leveled to our limit and we took on Morty and his gym. We came in with a strategy nearly identical to our Whitney strategy to also take Morty for his hard mode point value. We led with Columbia and used Sleep Powder on Morty's leading Ghastly. It took a few applications to stick and it got a curse off, so it was actually doing kind of scary damage to Columbia. But finally, we got that ghost to take a snooze. We switched into Mojito for Reflect and then brought out Gimlet. Now, Again, the plan was to defense curl rollout and try to sweep Morty. I wasted a turn using an X speed, hoping that that would at least allow me to outspeed the Gastlys, but no, it was a wasted turn. Geodude's too fucking slow and still doesn't outspeed anything, even after an X speed. So that was salty. Gimlet did get paralyzed by a lick, but refused to be stalled, continued his rollout sweep, and swept Morty, ending our week on a high note. Now, the only negative note on the end of the week is that Stormy did not yet love us enough to evolve into a Crobat. Our friendship was not as magical as the love between Trask and Mess. That being said, I did spend quite a bit of time today off stream just working on Stormy's friendship. So that return TM that we taught her is going to be just as potent as it possibly can be, but no Crobat this week.
No pink bat.
Nope, I do not get my pink bat to contrast with Mess's blue bat, but that's okay. That's actually kind of funny in a way that mine is a girl in pink and yours is a boy in blue. We're setting up gender stereotypes here on Blastburn Radio. So that was my gameplay for this week, and that of course leaves us with our newest host, Celeste. So Celeste, how was your gameplay for this week's stretch of the challenge?
This week was kind of interesting. I was super scared of Whitney's cow, and I was scared of Morty when I found out that they used Mean Look, because that led to some scary situations where you're stuck and you can't change your Pokemon and it's going to die. So I had to make a few decisions. But first, I went to Route 34 and actually took the odd egg, which is a crystal exclusive from the nursery. And while leveling to fight Whitney, I waited for that egg to hatch, and it hatched into an Elekid, which I promptly named Daryl, which is actually Setzer's girlfriend in Final Fantasy VI. After that, I went to Route 35, caught a Drowsy, and sacrificed Route 36 for points, and went up to the National Park and caught a Weedle, which I named Wedge, and then continued to level in preparation for Whitney. When the egg hatched, I leveled it for a bit and then decided it wasn't going to be useful for the Whitney fight. And so I set up to go into that fight thinking that I would have my Wooper, which I believe this week's kind of fuzzy because I was running on low sleep. But I believe it was a Quagsire then at level 20. And I was relying on its stats as well as its resistance to rollout to carry me through. And it did. It ended up sweeping Whitney, but it was pretty scary. I just continuously headbutted that cow, hoping for a flinch. Got it down to a point where it would need a crit to die on its fourth rollout, which would have killed Edgar. And Edgar got a crit, killing the cow and saving the day. And then after that, I continued on getting my other encounters. I believe I got a Koffing from the Burned Tower, named her Aisha. I ended up going into Mount Mortar, trying to catch something, kept running into Rattatas, and just gave up after the fifth encounter because of Dupe's Claws. And also, oh, I forgot about Route 37. I headbutted a tree and found an Execute, which is going to be extremely useful once we get to Kanto, but right now it's going to live in the bank. Now, the other exciting thing I had on Wednesday night after streaming, did some gambling at the casino, basically staying up all night before getting up to stream Thursday morning again to get Fire Blast for my Quilava lock. Taught him that, and then realized that X accuracy basically makes moves not able to miss in Gen 2, which gave me a solid strat for Morty. Now, the issue is when I went to go fight the other trainers in the gym of Morty, I was taking my Bellsprout in there, hoping for it to absorb some experience. It was going well for the most part. But I had a scary moment on the third trainer where it got mean-looked and was about to die, but lived. So on the fourth trainer, I figured I'd go in and sleep powder and then get it out. But it was a first-turn mean-look into a curse, into a nightshade. And instead of trying to sleep again, I tried to kill it with a vine whip that was hit with four growths. And it just did not work out for me. That was a mistake. So I lost my first Pokemon on this. After that, though, I went in to fight Morty, and my Quilava just wrecked Morty with Fire Blast. I did have a lucky moment, because two Hypnosis is missed on that Gengar, and it saved the day. So both gyms were a sweep, which was a really good week. As far as team building, I have no idea what I'm going to do. I have left my Goldenrod City counter open still. So there are a couple choices there. I haven't decided what to do yet. And I think that's it for the week.
Awesome. So really, I think that, you know, obviously poor Mess had the hardest time. But that being said, I don't think anyone really came into this week expecting it to be bloodless with Whitney and Morty. So I think that we all did as well or better than could be expected. So this was a really solid week of gameplay for us, I think.
Yeah, you know, there are worse problems than having almost all of your Pokemon have super effective moves against a gym leader.
All right, guys. Well, that was our Nuzlocke gameplay for the week, and unfortunately, we each suffered a loss or losses, and so that means that we do have fallen to mourn. So, Mess, we'll start with you since you played first, buddy. Do you have a few words to say for your dearly departed friends?
Yeah, I do. Lopez, you were never really J-Lo. That's just what Jolly called you. But, you know, we liked you. You were a great tanky defensive Pokemon, and you were really clutch for us in week one. And you did what you were supposed to do. You got up there and slapped some mud, and all it did was just get the cow pissed off. That wasn't your fault. I don't know why it can see through mud, but it can, and it killed you. And I was very, very sad. I was planning on taking you with me the whole way, so rest in peace, buddy. Wanli, you did your job. You came out, you bit the thing in the face, and then you took a 5 rollout roll, and it was bad. And no one expected you to live through that. But the point is, you got the damn Hyper Fang off. So, good on you. I'm gonna miss you guys. You were really key members of the team, but hopefully some of our new friends will take up the torch, so to speak.
Lopez, you were totally J-Lo. Mess is a hater. Michelada, I had really, really high hopes for you. I really wanted to run a Weezing. I really wanted to run a Weezing in red, blue, yellow. Apparently, it's just not meant to be. Maybe we'll get a chance in Generation 3. Maybe we'll find a shiny blue Weezing. But either way, I'm really, really salty that I taught you all those TMs. Rest in peace.
Realm, you were a great Pokemon. You did your job well. You had sleep powder to deal with a lot of things. I had planned to replace you eventually, but you were still useful. You were very balanced, and the only reason you were gone is because I made the mistake, even though I had realized, justified earlier, that you wouldn't be able to take on Haunters and Ghastlies because of their abilities. I kept you in, thinking you'd be able to sleep them and then get out, but the Haunter had different plans and scared you into staying, and because of that I lost you. You will be missed.
All right, guys. So, as always, that's how our week went, but we are not the only ones playing. We've been hearing a lot from you guys since the series started, which is fucking phenomenal. This week did bring another round of messages from fans playing along at home, and the first comes from a big fan of the show, Pegasus League Live on Twitch. Mess, do you want to read our message this week from Pegasus?
Yeah, I do. I also want to point out that Pegasus actually sent us gameplay video of his Whitney fight, and that was super awesome. So thank you for sending that. We all watched it, and we were pretty jazzed to see it. So Pegasus says, "This is my week 2 status report. So as you saw, Whitney wasn't as big of an obstacle as I anticipated. My death count this week is down from 4 to 2. There's my Nitto, who was taken too soon by a Kadabra because I spaced out and thought it was an Abra. I hear you, buddy. Especially when it's late. Then there was my Pidgeotto. I'm just going to say 2 things about that death. 1, fuck Morty and all that he stands for. And 2, Dream Eater is psychic. I know that now. I don't quite remember everything that Chuck and Jasmine have in store for me. I hope they are gentle, because I love my boys and I don't want to lose anyone anymore. Pokemon alive in the box. There's one left currently in Pegasus's box. Week 2 deaths were Cornelo the Nidoran male and Archer the Pidgeotto. His total deaths on the series is at 6, and his current team is Mustang the Quilava, Armstrong the Geodude, Nina the Quagsire, Barry the Beedrill, and Yolki the Drowsy. All at like 23, level 23, level 24.
Thanks for the message, Pegasus. And dude, I'm legitimately glad that I was not the only one who turned it around a bit this week. Last week was brutal on both of us, so it's nice that this week went more according to plan. And also, yeah, your Whitney footage was fucking dope. Like, Pegasus didn't talk about that in his message, but holy shit, his Geodude Armstrong lived on 1 health on Whitney's rollout and turned around and killed the cow with a crit. It was the most clutch thing I have ever seen in my entire life.
Armstrong. Armstrong!
Armstrong is strong. Best Geodude, best
definitely boy. Embodies the character from Fullmetal Alchemist.
Absolutely. Now, we also did get our weekly update message from Tom Archard, who goes by Trainer Mimic, when streaming on Twitch. Celeste, would you like to read our message from Tom this week?
Hey guys, hope your weeks have been good. Mine has been a lot busier than I would have liked. The run-up to Christmas has made me both broke and out of time. I haven't played any Gold and Silver this week. I'm sorry, guys, but I'll catch up soon. As for Ultra Sun and Moon, I'm currently on the third island and doing well, but usually by now I would have finished the game. I'm hoping to complete the game next week and get back to my Nuzlocke. I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Living here in England is just another day for me. What do you guys do to celebrate? Mimic.
Okay, thanks, Celeste, and thanks, Tom. I totally get real life getting in the way of game time, particularly with the breakneck pace we've set for these games. I know personally I'm also on the third island in my Ultra Moon playthrough, just because between life and our Nuzlocke streaming, I just don't have the time to put into it that I normally would, so I really hear you. Now, speaking for myself, I have very much the stereotypical American Thanksgiving, which just means getting together with family and eating myself sick with just tons of turkey and everything that has carbs in it. How about you guys? Do you do anything a little bit more unique or interesting?
It's mostly that for me. I just have to do it 3 times. So my wife and I break the holidays up. So on Thanksgiving Day, we're at one side of the family, and then we do our second Thanksgiving, like, the weekend after. So, like, I'm doing Thanksgiving again tomorrow, just so you know. But having to do 2 Thanksgivings in one day, because my parents are split, is totally crazy, because it means that I have to be very conscious of how much I eat at Thanksgiving 1, because I have to eat that much at Thanksgiving 2. So by the end of the night, I usually can't move. I just, somebody rolls me into the house and just leaves me wherever I land.
So yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. I go to see family. My mom's side of Thanksgiving is usually on Wednesday. So I was there before the stream. And So I was very, very tired from eating lots of turkey and other things, going in at 9 p.m. and streaming. As for my dad, he had canceled Thanksgiving this year because of issues with his house. I think he's got a hole in his wall that he's dealing with. And then on Thursday, we went to my fiance's family and had Thanksgiving there. But it's just typical eat too much and hang out with family type thing.
Yep, just, you know, exactly what you think of when you think of Americans, those of you across the pond, eating entirely too much food that is terrible for you. So it is the quintessential American holiday. Now, dear listeners, if you are playing along at home with us, we want to hear about it. Be sure to get at us through email or social media and let us know all about your clutch victories, like Pegasus had against Whitney this week, and your crushing terrible defeats, so that we can celebrate your successes and mourn your losses right along with you. We totally want to let our whole community know about your run and what you're doing. So right into the show.
Yeah, do it. It's super, super dope for us to read all the stuff we get from you guys every week and see how you're doing. And it really warms our hearts that you play along with us. You have no idea how much that means.
It is literally, at this point at least, the most rewarding part of what we do. So thank you from the bottom of my cold, dead heart. Thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome to see other people playing with us.
All right, guys. Now, we've discussed our weeks. We have mourned our losses and we have caught you up on our friends playing along at home. So all that is left is for us to battle, to pit our teams against each other for dominance. Now, coming into this week, Messer Engine was dominant last week in PvP, but his spanking at the hands of Whitney has allowed Celeste to retake the lead in points. Celeste having a score of 245. That being said, myself and Mess are right on her heels, tied in second place at 225 points. So it is literally anyone's game at this point, folks. Now, as always, last week's big winner must defend the stick first. So you are up first, Mess. Who will you be battling first this week?
Celeste, we're going to battle it out.
Let's go.
Okay, so here we go, ladies and gentlemen, our PvP showdown for week 2 of the Blastburn Radio Nuzlocke World Tour. We have Messer Engine and Celeste the Lost facing off for the second time, and they have vastly different teams than last week, so it's going to be really interesting to see how this one goes, folks. Messer Engine leading in with his Butterfree Gia, and Celeste the Lost leading in with her Raticate Setzer. Folks, are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, you may begin. Okay, and Setzer outspeeding Gia and going straight to the Hyper Fang, dealing 60% and just brutalizing Gia. Gia, however, does get off the sleep powder and Setzer is now snoozing. Setzer remains asleep. Gia goes for the stun spore, anticipating a switch that does not come. Setzer remains asleep for a second time. Gia goes for the confusion, dealing 18% and confusing Setzer. So Setzer is now confused as well as being asleep. Setzer remains in and remains asleep, eating another confusion from Gia, dealing 17% of its health this time. Setzer down to 65. Okay, Gia coming out in favor of Murtry, Messer Engine's Machop. Setzer is still sleeping. It should wake up any time now. Not this turn, though. Setzer remains asleep, eating a Karate Chop from Murtry, taking 63% of Setzer's health. Setzer is at 2%, hanging on with a sliver. And Setzer coming out at the 2% health in favor of Strago, Celeste's Gloom. Strago does eat a Karate Chop from Murtry, which is not very effective, but it's also a crit, dealing 22% of Strago's total health. Strago outspeeds Murtry and goes for the sleep powder, so now Murtry is sleeping as well. And Murtry remains in. Strago goes for the stun spore, anticipating a switch that does not come. Murtry is still asleep. And Strago comes out in favor of Edgar, Celeste's Quagsire, who was so incredibly vital against Whitney's mill tank, Murtry actually wakes up and goes for a fire punch, which is not very effective and also hits off Murtry's low special stat, only dealing 6% to the big bulky Quagsire. And Murtry comes out in favor of Holden, Messer Engine's starter, his best boy Croconaw. Holden has to eat a surf from Edgar, which is a crit and deals 42% even while resisted to Holden. And Holden goes for the bite, dealing 14% to the very bulky Edgar. However, it does also cause a flinch. Edgar does not get an attack off. Holden then goes for a surf, dealing 31%. It's a neutral hit against Quagsire because it is, of course, a ground-type Pokemon. Quagsire Edgar returns with a headbutt for 22%. Holden goes back to the surf for another 29%. And then Edgar also uses surf for 25%. They are both in the red, Holden at 10 and Edgar at 20%. And Edgar comes out in favor of Strago the Gloom, who eats a surf on the switch for 18% health. And Holden stays in and goes for a bite on Strago, dealing 15% and getting the flinch again. Those flinches have been clutch thus far. Holden then coming out in favor of Gia the Butterfree, eating a cut on its way in, by the way, taking 20% damage. Strago then outspeeds Gia, which is frankly shocking, but apparently Strago does outspeed Gia. Oh, it's probably holding a quick claw, dealing 20% with cut and fainting the Butterfree. Sorry, I probably shouldn't have thrown that out there audibly, but it just really struck me how a Gloom could possibly have outsped a Butterfree.
Yep, I streamed it giving it a quick claw.
I intentionally don't pay attention to what items you guys place because that I feel it's more fun not
knowing. It's true.
And Jules the Nidoking coming in, Jules being very, very threatening with lots of good TMs and just, in general, very good coverage. And Jules goes for a Blizzard, which puts Strago in the ground.
Claw didn't work.
Not that time. And Locke, the Quilava, coming out for Celeste the Lost, which Jules goes right for a Surf, dealing 81%. To Locke. Locke hitting back with that Fire Blast, dealing 55% damage to Jules. And Jules, or Locke, excuse me, coming back in favor of Daryl, Celeste's Elekid, who eats a Surf on the switch for 54% health. It does, however, eat a berry, bringing it back up to 62, just above yellow. There's a couple of interesting moves that Daryl could go for at this point. It's going to be interesting to see which direction Celeste decides to go in. And Jules does, of course, outspeed, and we're not going to get to see which direction Celeste is going to go in because Jules outspeeds with Blizzard, dealing all of Daryl's remaining health and damage and knocking the poor baby out. And Celeste's Onyx, who she has named Sabin, comes out onto the field, eating a 4x super effective surf from Jules and also being put down. At this point, it seems like it's just going to be mop-up for Jules, unfortunately. Everything that Celeste has left is right on death's door. Edgar, the Quagsire, comes out, eats his surf, and is also now KO'd. Locke coming in red at 19%, the Quilava. Locke does go for a quick attack to get some damage on the Nidoking, but he is just not to be stopped. Still at 34% health, puts Locke down with another surf. And now it's all down to Setzer, who was asleep with 2% health, does wake up and get the quick attack off. Jules still has 15% health remaining and puts down Setzer. Messer Engine has won his first battle of the PvP showdown. Congratulations.
Good game, Celeste.
Jules is mean as hell. Good game.
Yeah, Jules is probably the threat that we're all going to have to find an answer to. Hopefully I have mine, but I think we're going to find out. So as always, loser must give up the stick, and so that means that, Mess, it's me and you next. Celeste, are you ready, hon?
All right.
Okay, well, the mic is yours.
In the gold corner, there is Messer Engine, leading with Gia, his Butterfree. In the silver corner, there is Jolly with Stormy, his shiny Golbat. Are you two ready?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Right. You may begin. Stormy leads off a confused Ray. Gia is confused and hurts itself in confusion.
Well, one for one.
Stormy leads off, or attacks off return and knocks Gia down for 52% of its health. Gia uses sleep powder and Stormy is asleep. Gia attacks with confusion. It's super effective and hits Stormy for 30% of its health. Stormy is still asleep. Gia attacks with another confusion and Stormy loses another 30% of its health. Jolly switches out Stormy for Sangria, his Kadabra. Gia attacks with confusion. It's not very effective and Sangria loses 9% of its health. Sangria uses Psybeam and Gia faints. As our engine switches into Nagata, is Eevee. Sangria the Kadabra hits Nagata for 53% of its health with the Psybeam. Nagata headbutts Sangria for 48% of its health. Nagata goes in with a critic attack, doing 32% of Sangria's health, but not enough. The opposing Sangria uses Psybeam again, and Nagata faints. Holden comes out. Sangria hits Holden with a Thunder Punch. It is super effective for 75% of its health. Holden then bites Sangria, and Sangria faints.
I cannot complain at that rate of return.
Out comes Mojito, Jolly's Bayleaf. Mojito uses Reflect, and Holden hits Mojito with a Bite, causing 14% of its health to be lost. Mojito returns with a Razor Leaf, causing Holden to faint. And out comes that powerhouse of a Nidoking, Jules. Jolly switches in Bumbo, his Slowpoke. Bumbo is hit with a Blizzard and loses 25% of its health. Jules uses Shadow Ball. It's super effective. Bumbo loses 25% of its health.
That was a beautiful crit.
Bumbo gets angry and crits Jules for 100% of its health with the Surf. Out comes Trask. Mesmer Engine's Crobat. Trask enters in with a Confuse, and Bumbo is confused, and it hurts itself in confusion, and the Reflect that Jolly set up is gone. Jolly switches out for Mojito, his Bailey. And Trask hits it with Return for 67% of its health. Trask attacks with Return again, and Mojito is down. Jolly sends out Columbia, his Skiploom. Trask hits it with a Return for 49% of its health. The Columbia tries to use Sleep Powder, but Trask avoids the attack.
Ah!
Trask uses another Return and hits Columbia for 51% of its health, causing it to faint. Out comes Stormy, who is still sleeping. Trask hits it for 36% of its health, using Return. Stormy is down to 4% health, and then the next turn, Trask uses Return again, and Stormy is now fainted. Out comes Gimlet, Jolly's Graveler, which is hit with a Confuse Ray. And then Gimlet uses Defense Curl. And then out comes Metri, Mesmerism Chop. Who then hits that with a rollout, which is hit by Gimlet with a rollout for 25% of its health. Metri uses Karate Chop, and Gimlet loses 27% of his health, which is super effective. Gimlet uses rollout again, and Metri loses 51% of its health. And then the next turn, Gimlet rolls over Metri for the rest of its health, while taking 28% of its health from a Karate Chop. Out comes Trask. Trask confuses Gimlet.
Oh, that was so damn clutch.
Gimlet hurts itself in confusion. Trask bites Gimlet for 27% of its health. Gimlet kills itself with its own confusion. Out comes Bumbo. Trask hits Bumbo with a return for 35% of its health. Bumbo uses confusion, hitting Trask for 27% of its health.
Trask, best boy!
Trask returns on to Bumbo for the rest of its health. Mesmer Engine is the winner.
Good game, sir.
Mess. Oh, shit. That confusion on Gimlet saved your ass so fucking hard.
It did. It was my only option.
And it was apparently a good one. It paid off for you. Good fucking game, sir.
Good game.
Yeah, that was a good fight.
Well, that leaves us, Celeste. So, Mess, that puts you on the mic, sir. Are you ready?
I am. So, in the Crystal Corner, the Crystal Palace, the Fortress of Solitude, Celeste the Lost has opened with Setzer the Raticate, ready to face off against Shiny Stormy for BBR Jolly, with its pink wings and its green face. It's so adorable. Are you two ready to fight?
I am.
Let's do it.
Let the battle commence. So Stormy opens up with Confuse Ray, confusing Setzer, but Setzer gives no shits and Hyperfangs Stormy down to 63%. Celeste brings out Elekid just in time for Stormy to drop that sweet, sweet attract on Elekid. Stormy switches out for Jolly in favor of Mojito, his starter, his beautiful bay leaf. And Elekid Thunder Punches Bayleaf in the face for 14%. Elekid uses Reflect. Elekid uses Light Screen. I'm sorry. And Mojito uses Reflect. Celeste switches into Locke, her Quilava, while Jolly switches into Gimlet, the Graveler. Locke uses Smoke Screen to reduce the accuracy of Gimlet, and that pays off because a Magnitude 8 misses Locke. Another smoke screen comes out, dropping Gimlet's accuracy, but this one does not matter. Magnitude 7 one-shots Locke entirely. Celeste brings out Quagsire, Edgar the Quagsire, for her end. Let's see how this goes against Gimlet. PBR Jolly says you won't find out, brings out Mojito. Mojito gets headbutted, bringing it down to 44%.
That was an ice punch, so that was a super effective ice punch.
Oh, holy crap. My bad, guys. Sorry about that. He's got an icy fist. An icy fist of doom. Mojito hits with Razor Leaf, bringing Quagsire Edgar down to 6%. Quagsire returns with another ice punch, bringing Mojito down to 4%.
God damn it, Edgar is so bulky. I can't believe that you lived that four times super effective Miracle Seed boosted Razor Leaf. That's fucking nuts.
Edgar,
he's a boss.
No, he's good.
But another Razor Leaf is enough to put him down the remaining percentage that he had available. So let's bring Setzer back out to deal with Mojito. Jolly brings out Gimlet. The quick attack goes out, hits Gimlet, but it's not very effective, bringing Gimlet down to 92%. Gimlet defense curls, presumably getting ready for that rollout. Celeste switches into Onyx, who gets hit with the rollout, but of course resists it. Onyx shoots a mud slap over to Gimlet, reducing its accuracy further, but it does not stop the rollout, bringing Onyx down to 61%. Another mud slap hits Gimlet. Gimlet's at 74%. With more reduced accuracy. Jolly switches out for Bumbo, his Slowpoke, who gets hit with a mud slap and has reduced accuracy and is now at 87%. Celeste switches in to Gloom, who almost gets hit with a Surf, but not quite. That's a very agile Gloom you have there, Celeste. And Stormy is back out just in time to get the Stun Spore from Strago. Strago goes and follows that up with a cut, but Stormy's having none of it and says Confuse Ray. Sets her back out. Stormy attracts. Stormy is at 49% and still paralyzed. Elekid back out for Celeste, who gets confused on its way in. Mojito switches in for Jolly. A Thunder Punch brings Mojito down to 0%. Columbia comes out for Jolly, that good, good status spreader, and it's status fight all around. Strago comes out and eats the sleep powder on the switch in. Columbia drops a Leech Seed, going for that utility win. Strago's still sleeping, and Sangria comes out for Jolly, his Kadabra, which proved to be very devastating to me with its speed and psychic powers. Strago woke up, attempts the sleep powder, but misses. Sangria Psybeams, bringing Strago down to 15%. It's super effective against the poison type, and it follows up with an ice punch, dropping it. Sets her back out for Celeste. Asai brings Setzer down to 50% and confuses it, but is not enough to stop Setzer from hyperfanging, bringing Sangria down to 23%. Setzer drops the confusion and quick attacks, dropping Sangria. Columbia is back out for Jolly, hoping to spread more of that status. Hyperfang brings it down to 41%, but Columbia puts it to sleep. Setzer is at 50% and napping. Onyx comes out for Celeste to face Columbia. Columbia leech seeds as well, hoping to get some more health on the fight. A stun spore for Columbia misses. A rock throw from Onyx does not, and Columbia is down. Gimlet is out for Jolly. It takes a mud slap when in the first round here when he's coming out. It's at 70%. Gimlet uses magnitude. It's a magnitude 8 and
those
drops
magnitudes
Onyx.
Are loving you tonight.
Elekid back out for Celeste. A dizzy punch hits Gimlet. It's not very effective. Doesn't drop the confusion, and a magnitude drops Elekid. Setzer, the sleeping Raticate, is the only one who remains. And Jolly switches in to Bumbo. Setzer is still napping, and it takes a surf, bringing it down to 15%. And Setzer is still napping, and it takes a surf for the remainder of its health. Jolly by nature is the winner.
Good game, Celeste.
Good game.
Okay, so that is our PvP showdown for the week. Once again, Messer Engine kicking ass and taking names against all opponents. And I did manage to scrape out the remaining 25 points. So that means that we have had a drastic shakeup on our leaderboard. Messer Engine picking up 50 points on the evening is now back in first place with 275 points. That puts myself, Jolly by Nature, up to second for the first time in Generation 2 with a total of 250 and puts Celeste right on my heels in third place, but still extremely competitive with a score remaining of 245.
Still can't believe that Trask like just went on a rampage.
Yeah, Trask gave no fucks what I did to that bat. It was just like, nope, 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 gonna kill.
Those magnitudes were just ridiculous. We're just gonna pick 8, 8, 7, 8.
Yeah, not a two to be seen tonight. You know, and it's funny because I had no intention when we started this series of using Gimlet all the way through. But at this point, I'm not sure I could bring myself to bench him. He's been our best boy.
Yeah, Gimlet.
He's the reason why you beat me.
Gimlet did pretty good.
Yeah, in gameplay this week and in PvP. So, yeah, until something changes, I think that he's just... He's not only on the squad, he's team captain. He's just doing it. So, all right, guys, that was our week 2 gameplay. It is, of course, time for us to look forward to week 3 of our challenge. Now, this week will be a bit of a respite for our hosts with a content load much more similar to our weekly gameplay in Series 1. We will be heading west and south from Ecruteak City through Routes 38 and 39 to reach the coastal Olivine City. Not all is well in Olivine, however, and the gym is currently empty. We'll head across the sea to the south and west through Routes 40 and 41 to reach the island of Cianwood City, where we'll take on Chuck and his fierce fighting types. Only one gym this week. Chuck is the only gym leader we'll be facing. Our hosts will need to pay careful attention to the zoning between routes out on the open sea, specifically between routes 40 and 41, to avoid wasting any of their encounters this week. Now, our hosts should also be prepared for a bit of a slog, as this is the point in these games where the grind starts to become very, very real and get kind of brutal. The level limit, of course, for this section of gameplay will be level 30. So what do you think, guys? Do you have anything in particular that you're looking forward to in this week's gameplay? Any particular encounters that you're really crossing your fingers for? Or are you just kind of winging it?
I had decided when I was reforming the team to kind of make decisions on what I was looking for based off of performance. And, I mean, the team obviously is looking pretty strong, where we just finished up PvP to a kind of dominant finish there. There are still some places to patch up, but this is the part in the game where some really interesting encounters start opening up, stuff like Miltank, Tauros, and stuff coming down the line. I'm personally glad that there's only one gym this week, so especially since I'm going to Thanksgiving tomorrow, because I will be sleepy boy from all the turkey when I go to stream.
Awesome. What about you, Celeste? Is there any particular like team building component that you feel like you've really been needing that might be on your table this week, or are you particularly worried about Chuck? Do you have a good strategy for that gym?
I do not have a strategy for Chuck yet. I'm going to think that through some. As far as encounters, I'd be very happy to get a tanky normal type like Miltank or a high attacker like Tauros. But as far as looking forward to them, if they come, they come. If not, I have some choices still.
Yeah, that's more than fair. I mean, I know that you probably got to be a little bit disappointed in your performance this week, but that being said, you've still got a lot of team building options already on your table. And you're despite losing both matches, your team did not perform poorly.
No, those were drastically different from last week, and I'm happy with what happened this week.
Okay, awesome. I know that personally, out of all of the encounters that are opening up to us this week, I'm probably most excited for the Super Rod. Or not the Super Rod, the Good Rod, in Olivine. I'm not particularly looking for a new water type at the moment, but more options there are always really good. Particularly just because we do have so many slow Pokemon on the team, and Bumbo is one of those, so that might be a legitimate consideration. But as you guys have mentioned, we also potentially get access to Miltank and Tauros this week, and those are both very distinct, yet both very, very good Pokemon. So that's dope. And don't sleep on Tentacool. Tentacool and Tentacruel are actually very strong in Generation 2.
Stronger if we could get some Swords Dance action, but yes.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that is 100% valid, but even without Swords Dance, they're pretty viable.
I can't take any more poison, Jolly. I have so much poison.
It's official. Mess is running poison monotype. Demand it, fans. Demand it.
That Kadabra would just sweep me every week.
Yeah, that's why I want to see you do it. All right, guys. Well, that is our show for this week. So now we do want to look forward to next week and let you guys know when and where you can find us here on Twitch. Mess, you almost always stream first. Is that going to be the case again this week as well?
Yeah, I will be streaming tomorrow, the 26th, but I won't be streaming until 7, most likely, because I have to travel to the south part of the state to visit with my in-laws, and I won't be back probably, or I'll be back like right around 6 o'clock, and I don't want to rush, so I will be on around 7 p.m.
Okay, awesome. And where can our listeners find you?
twitch.tv/mezzerengine, as always.
Awesome. And this week might not actually require a second day of streaming, but if it does, Mess, is that still going to be Monday for you this week?
Yeah, absolutely. It'll still be Monday, and as per usual, if we don't have regular stuff to do, the randomized Emerald Nuzlocke will come back. I know some of you have been missing that. It's just the schedule's been brutal, so please forgive me. I will get back to it at some point.
Yeah, the Generation 2 streaming schedule is just fucking nuts, guys. So I'm sorry. There's a lot of other things. You know, me and Mess had talked about doing something in tandem for Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon when the games came out. And yeah, that's still like on the table. We just don't know when the hell that's going to be, because we're streaming 2 and 3 days a week for Gold and Silver. But yeah, so as always, I will be streaming second. I will be streaming Tuesday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard at twitch.tv/jollybynature. If a second night is needed, which with my late start times will still probably be the case this week, then I'll also be streaming Friday night, same time, 9 p.m. EST.
And I'll be streaming on Wednesday evening. It'll actually be at 9 p.m. instead of 6 p.m. this week, due to a move of a family party for my fiance's birthday. That'll be Wednesday night. So as soon as I'm done there, I will be heading home to stream. And then since I'll be starting late, there'll probably be a second stream on Thursday to finish everything up at 6 p.m.
Awesome. Thanks, Celeste. Now, as always, dear listeners, we do want to hear from you. We want your emails. We want your direct messages, your tweets. However you want to get at us, we want you to get at us. Whether you're playing along with us at home, doing your own super neat challenge run that you want to talk about, or if you just want to give us your thoughts and feelings on the show and what we're doing, please send us your emails to blastburnradio@gmail.com or tweet the show or hit us up on Facebook at Blastburn Radio. And I do want to just take a moment to specifically ask, guys, this is not a joke. It was brought to my attention this week that you can search for Pokemon on iTunes and not find Blastburn Radio, which is a fucking travesty. So if you have not done it yet, please consider taking 5 seconds, searching for Blastburn Radio on iTunes and giving us a rating, if not a review. Those ratings are a big chunk of how iTunes runs their search algorithm, how they decide what to show you for a search. And so more ratings will help us become more visible and help us get new listeners. So it's a huge help and we really appreciate it. Okay, now, as always, I do want to thank our host for joining us this evening. Celeste, where can our listeners find you online?
It'd be on Twitter at Celeste the Lost. And that's it for my social media at the moment.
Okay, awesome, thanks. Now, Mess, if our listeners want to contact you or check out any of your other products, including Mythic Portal Games, where can they find you online?
Yeah, absolutely. You can always follow me on Twitter, at MezzerEngine. Go ahead, give me a follow. I'll talk about my life, Pokemon, all those interesting things that you want to know. If you want to check out Mythic Portal Games, make sure to check us out at Mythic Portal on Twitter or at Mythic Portal Games on Facebook.
Awesome. Thanks, Mess. Now, once again, I have been Jolly by Nature, and you can find me on Twitch streaming when I'm on Twitch streaming at twitch.tv/jollybynature. If you want to reach out to me and see what I'm up to, you can always follow me on Twitter at @BBRJolly, or be sure to follow the show on Twitter or Facebook at Blastburn Radio, and we'll keep you apprised of what all of our hosts are doing on the interwebs. Now, I do want to thank everyone for listening and joining us today. As always, I do want to give a very special thank you to my co-hosts, MezzerEngine and Celeste, for Blastburn Radio. I am Jolly by Nature. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.
Have a good week, folks.
Blastburn Radio is a production of Challenge Accepted Media. This episode was produced by Jolly by Nature, Celeste the Lost, and MezzerEngine. Pokemon and all related games and characters are the property and trademark of Nintendo, Game Freak, and the Pokemon Company. Opening music in today's episode includes Game On by Fishy. Check out this and other video game remixes at ocremix.org. Battle and closing music in today's episode provided by Glitch X City. Check out all of her great tracks at soundcloud.com/glitchxcity. Design work and stream assets provided by Rachel Mondragon. Check out her portfolio or contact her for commissions at rachelmondragon.com. Blastburn Radio and its hosts are solely responsible for its content.